Satisfaction. Maybe we'll get some Bowie music in from that era later. Maybe rest in peace. Rough week for British icons. But Hans Gruber, may he also rest in peace. In the next hour of the Sully Show, when we get off Georgia Paul Radio and Sully brings cast of characters in such as Rick Limpert, something that Mayor of Bowman, Georgia, Pete Gibbons, regular listener and apparently is on Facebook, is openly questioning in another topic, the charge of Georgia Tech basketball tickets. Guess what? If you listen to the Sully Show and you are the right caller in the next hour, free. That's you know, even someone that didn't win Powerball, which apparently was the only newsworthy item on many local stations for the last few days. If you did not win the Powerball and still want to go to Georgia Tech basketball, Sully has you set up next hour. But, John, we were talking in the last what kind of signaled some things at the beginning of the session, what was going to happen. And now let's just go ahead and jump right into one of Sully's favorite topics and talk about what's not going to happen. And I'll frame it that way, but let's just – I honestly haven't read the bill or got the details of exactly what was proposed, but the I believe Mary Margaret Oliver, I think, is the chief sponsor. I could even be wrong on that.
But that's right.
There was a anti-gun bill is probably a fair way to say that. It's been described as gun grabbing and gun confiscation. I have not read the bill, so I don't honestly know even what it purports to do, other than the fact that I know just from what I said it's not going to move. But what did they say in their press conference, and or what's the take at the Capitol of if their bill were to be signed into law, which it will not be, but if it were, what would it do, John?
Well, what the bill would do, Ms. Oliver has gone ahead and provided a list of so-called assault weapons by, I guess by name, and I'm not familiar with the names of all the assault weapons, but there were quite a few of them, along with, I think, cartridges that carry more than 10 rounds and a few other things. And she wants to ban them, but she doesn't only just want to ban them. What she wants to do is to have the GBI authorized to go around and collect these guns and confiscate them. So it's even nominally potentially even worse than that. She had a press conference yesterday, had a number of folks out there with pictures of assault weapons and a number of pastors that stood behind her and talked about how we should be talking about peace and not talking about guns. So that was kind of interesting. And I ran into Speaker Ralston today and asked him for his reaction. Today he said, as long as I'm Speaker of the House, I'll not use any of our valuable time taking away the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens. Said, I'm completely baffled in the wake of Paris and San Bernardino as to how someone believes that the solution to some of these problems are to disarm law-abiding Georgians and Americans. He said, if it's taking away your right to possess and bear arms, you put lipstick on that pig all you want, it's still a pig, and it's not going to be something we're going to deal with in this House.
Sully, what do you think about that pig?
Well, the Reverend Robert C. Wright, who is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, says that this bill is not an attack on the Second Amendment, but on weapons that are extreme and extraordinary. And we've seen extreme and extraordinary weapons used in crimes committed against citizens in this country. We sometimes see that happen here, sadly, on the streets of our own city. And until the criminals and terrorists don't have those weapons, we need to make sure that we have them.
I wrote a piece a few weeks ago for one of my columns, I believe. If not, it was on that other website. But when Donald Trump came out and was talking about banning Muslims from entering this country, including American citizens that were currently overseas from coming back in, I made the very distinct impression that we were arguing now over which constitutional rights we wish to violate in the name of safety or whatever else, because Democrats in the same week, specifically the president, his attorney general, and Democratic presidential candidate Martin O'Malley. Yes, he's still running, for those of you that missed the wire.
Saw a bumper sticker of his the other week.
Mayor Carchetti. Yes, you found the Martin O'Malley sticker in the state of Georgia. There really should have been a prize for that. But when I hear a minister say, you don't need to worry about this, we're just going after things that are extreme. And I know one of the other major things that John's written about this week is the Pastor Protection Act, where I've heard people say, don't worry, we're just going after, you know, sermons that are extreme. the Constitution doesn't let you determine what's extreme or what not based on what you feel. And if you decide someone else's right is extreme, that you should just be able to shut them down and take it away from. So this frustrates me to no end to see on one hand, I know a group of pastors that are very concerned that government is going to reach in and tell them what they can do and what they can't. And on the other hand, Second Amendment, you know, folks that have their guns and very much believe, as I agree with them pretty much, that, you know, that they have a right to weapons. And, it, you know, the Second Amendment does not say you have the right to keep and bear arms so long as that they're okay for hunting. You know, hunting is not mentioned in the Second Amendment. And I think if you read any of the papers from the Founding Fathers and, you know, the materials leading up, they're not talking about hunting, people. They're not. The Second Amendment is not talking about sportsmanship. It's just that isn't it.
But so, that's what Mary Margaret Oliver said yesterday, that you don't need these assault weapons when you're hunting quail.
Well, let's go to the bigger picture, because again, this is one of those I for our listeners that may be engaged at this point. I get it, but to me, here's the takeaway: Democrats are still trying to figure out how they take Georgia back. Mary Margaret Oliver is a smart lady. She's been down there a long time. She's, you know, she gets the politics of the Capitol. She knows there is no way that bill that she introduced is going to pass. She didn't introduce it for it to pass. She's asserting this is what we believe, at least those co-sponsors, if not
including the minority leader Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is a, you know, without it necessarily being an endorsed position of the state Democratic Party of Georgia, these are the leaders of the Democratic Party, or at least leaders of the Democratic Party. And as you say, minority leader from the House is a co-sponsor. If you go back to where Democrats were in Georgia when they had power, which was only 12 years ago, 14 years ago, the thought of the old Sam Nunn Democrats, as we called them, putting a bill to start limiting, restricting gun rights and confiscating some guns. If you had said that, you would have Democrats shoot you. I mean, there is Second Amendment. Those Democrats were as Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment. They knew if they had even breathed a word, if they had had any leader say anything like that, they would have lost. But those Democrats have lost already. Your rural Georgia Democrats pretty much don't exist anymore. It's a party that exists pretty much in Inman Park,
Virginia Highlands,
certain sections of Metro Atlanta, and in the urban centers across Georgia. But rural Democrats, for the most part, aren't a thing anymore. With I think some very minor exceptions in Southwest Georgia, this is a new Democratic Party, and the politics of this state. When you get into what the politics look like. When you start to look at Democrats battling to take Georgia back from the Republicans, this is pretty much laying down the gauntlet that tomorrow's Democratic Party is not going to be the Democratic Party that you used to know of Roy Barnes and Zell Miller and Jimmy Carter and whatnot. It's going to be a different Democratic Party that is much more aligned with the National Party instead of the old Georgia Democrats that when President Clinton would come to town. Amazingly, all of the Democrats would be on a fishing trip and wouldn't appear with him at Air Force One. They didn't want to be associated with the National Party, even a relatively popular president, because Georgia Democrats always were not quite like that. And so to me, this isn't about taking guns away, per se, because they know it's not going to pass. This is saying we are, in fact, national. I hate using terms like this, but we're with the liberals now, if you will. We are national Democrats. Progressives might be the better word. We're no longer going to wink, wink, nod, nod. We're not like them. Guess what? Democrat is a national party, and we are with them. And whenever Georgia makes the move to be a party switch, you can expect it's going to be between a Republican Party that definitely identifies as the National Party, which has a very Southern accent on it, or a Democratic Party, which is very D.C., Chicago, New York, not like the Democratic Party of Georgia in the old. Does anyone else see that differently? Because otherwise, I can't see why they would do this. There's no way they think this is going to pass or even get a hearing in committee.
Yeah, I can't see where it's going to go. Although, you know, it was interesting. We were talking in the first segment a little bit about health care. I listened to Leader Abrams, Democratic Leader Abrams, talk about the goals of her caucus, and one of them is dealing with rural health care. So there are some places where they can still find common ground. This is not one of them.
Please understand, I'm not, again, with everything we said over the last 2 weeks, I'm not saying I can never work with these people and these people have isolated themselves or whatever. I'm talking about, this is about party brand. You know, party at some point still matters. It's not that they can't and won't be involved. I mean, I know the respect that the majority caucus in the House has for Minority Leader Abrams.
Right.
She knows how to work her politics. She knows how to get involved on key issues. She's been part of key decisions such as Saving Hope. Not what I'm saying at all, but I'm saying the future brand of the Democratic Party in Georgia, this is a signal it's going to align with the National Party, not continue to try to put an asterisk and say on some things we're like them, but we're really not.
Right.
And with that, more of The Sully Show, Georgia Paul Radio, coming up right after this, 640 a.m., WGST.